Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate was in Knoxville and Pella this week. Let's go in-depth with Sam Clovis from Hinton, Iowa. Well, Sam, welcome to Marion County.
Good to be here.
I'm sure you've been through some time before
in the
past, but this is your first trip here
First official visit here as a candidate, yes, to Marion County.
Well, and tell people what you're running for and why.
I'm running for the United States Senate. I'm a Republican. I'm running for the open seat that Tom Harkin is going to retire. And right now there's a bevy of candidates on the Republican side, and the reason I'm running is because I think that, go back to the founding and the citizen legislator, I think that this is an opportunity for someone who has a diverse and varied background, someone who has a lot of skills that can go in and affect the chemistry inside the United States Senate to affect the outcomes of the Senate as a body, hopefully gain a majority for the Republican Party, which I think is one way to put a stop to the lawlessness of this administration, and I think that's really one of the most important motivations that I have.
You mentioned a diverse background.
Right.
And looking, you know, back at your career, you're right. Absolutely right. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I was born and raised in Kansas. I was in my senior year of high school. I received appointments to West Point in the United States Air Force Academy, and I chose to go to the Air Force. Graduated with a degree and a commission. Spent 25 years as an Air Force fighter pilot. Retired as a full colonel and the Inspector General for NORAD and U.S. Space Command. Went into the private sector, was a successful businessman, and ran the, as a government contractor, I ran the wargaming operation for the Air Force, and my people worked on the Human Factors Laboratory up in Dayton, Ohio. And I decided to get a little bit more education, so I picked up an MBA when I was in the service and a doctorate at the University of Alabama, and then decided to become a college professor. So I came to Iowa. And I taught first at right over here at William Penn University and was the dean of the College of Business there and went back to industry for a couple of years and still lived in Oskaloosa. But then moved up to Sioux City and became the chair of the Department of Business Administration and Economics at Morningside College. And I still do a lot of work and research in the Department of Homeland Security on national preparedness. And for about 3.5 years, I was a sidelight of a radio talk show host at KSCJ in 1360 in Sioux City.
Well, and people can't see you, but you're smiling.
It's wonderful. It was a great excursion for me. It was a great, it did it because I thought it was important, and it helped get me involved in Republican politics in the state, and I have been involved ever since.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Sam Clovis, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate. Now, you mentioned you want to get involved because of the lawlessness of this administration.
Right.
I presume you mean the Obama administration?
Yes, I do.
And I guess I want to look back a little bit. A lot of the criticisms that people have of the Obama administration are things that were set in place in the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think it's any different? I mean, this lawlessness kind of
not really.
Issue?
No, I think you raise a good point. And I think that the anyone that is intellectually honest will look at this and take a hard look at where we are. And frankly, you can go back as far back as you wish to in your lifetime. To take a look at the administrations, and we see an ever increasing imperialness in the presidency, and I think there's an imperial aspect to the presidency that has been evolving since, frankly, since John Kennedy. And you know, I'm an historian, and I look at a lot of these things, and I think your point's a valid one, and I think that recent memory says that we ought to take a hard look at some of the events that took place in the Bush administration and see some of the outcomes of that. We certainly have the Patriot Act, and we have to look at and whether or not how that has been abused to infringe on individual liberty. And then we have some other factors, you know, when you take a look at involvement in two long wars that have cost us a tremendous amount of blood and treasure. And then we're left with an administration like the Obama administration that seems to have very little notion of what the Constitution is or what it stands for. And I think this is it's time to put a stop to that. And it doesn't matter who the administration is, it's time to put a stop to that.
Now, one of the things I'm sure that you would like to do in this crowded Republican
right.
field is to distinguish yourself from
yeah.
your opposition. You want to do that right now for a little bit?
Well, I can, yes. I think one of the biggest distinctions is the depth of my experience and the diversity of my experience and the success I've had in doing a number of different things. I think anybody who looks at my resume, you know, and I don't mean to have it come across this way, but it's pretty impressive. And the fact that I've done so many things, have been so successful at them. And I think that that really, and I have the education, the background, the experience to bring, I think, a very strong, mature, thoughtful approach to governance because I'm a student of history, a student of the Constitution. And I really believe that if we try to confine Congress back inside the confines of the Constitution, we're going to serve the nation better, and I think those are important points that we have to look at. I'm not sure everybody else looks at it that way. I think that really if you want to talk about distinction, you have to look at what is the motivation for running. I mean, why would you want to become a servant? Do you want to put yourself out like we have for 7 months to go out and do this, and we've got another 5 months to go in this race, and what it costs you as far as personal, you know, issues and all that other stuff, and deal with this, and then want to go govern? And so look at what we're facing. The very first vote the next senator from Iowa makes is for the leadership of his party in that. And so I have to make a decision of whether or not I'm going to support the current leadership of the Republican conference in the Senate. I don't think I can do that right now because I don't see much leadership there, and I certainly don't see it on the Democrat side. So we really have to go in there and change the chemistry of what goes on inside the United States Senate so we can change those outcomes.
Now, every once in a while, it seems that a year or two ago, we used to hear about working across the aisle. It seems that now people aren't even thinking about that. What's your perspective on that? Do you want to do that? Do you care about that? Or are you just going to do what you want to do?
No, I don't think I'll do what's best for the country. I will always work with anybody, and I've said this over and over again on the campaign trail. I will sit down and work with anybody as long as the objective is what's best for the country. Now, we may disagree on the tactics of how we get there, and we can do that. I mean, I can sit down with a Democrat, and we may disagree on how we will accomplish something, but as long as we agree on the outcomes that we want, I think we can work something out, and I think that's really what it's about. But right now, we're not doing that. Everything is about special interests. Everything is about ideology, and when you focus on ideology and special interests, you're not doing anything. You're not governing, and you're certainly not doing what's best for the people. Because this is the one special interest that's not represented in Washington right now. That's the people. And I think that's really what we ought to be focused on. It's what's best for the country.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Sam Clovis, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate. Now, you mentioned special interests. That
yes.
makes me think about the big money now. Money's
yeah.
rolling in like it's never rolled in before, and some people
maybe rolling in for some people, not for everybody.
Well, you know, that's a good point. Why don't you address that? Citizens United, concerns with that, and the money that's rolling into.
Well, I think there's a one of the things in a federal race that there are limits on what you can raise and individually and from organizations, and there are very strong limits on that. But what you can't limit is the issues that are not related to the candidate, and that's the PAC money, super PAC money that comes in, and that's limitless, and that's based on the Citizens United case that was decided by the Supreme Court, because speech, you know, money is speech. And I don't have any issue with that. But what I really am concerned about is the undue influence the special interest has. People want to make money off of the decisions of government. And I think that that's wrong. When people come to a elected representative of the House or the Senate, and they will profit from a decision one way or the other, then what that really comes down to is government picking winners and losers and not operating in a free market system. Today, there are over 2,100 subsidies and tax credits out there that go right to the heart of market interference on the part of the government. There are over 1,000 grant programs that exist today, and those are simply SOPs to special interests that became codified and money got aligned to those. So those are the kinds of things that must be looked at and must be adjusted. The one thing is, I go back to the line of the old evangelical minister, and I had one when I was being raised, and he said, he came into the congregation one day, he says, everybody in here wants to go to heaven, but nobody in here wants to die. Everybody in here wants a balanced budget and fiscal responsibility, but nobody wants their program cut. Well, sooner or later, somebody has to stand up and say, I'm sorry, your program's going to have to get cut. Because if you truly want fiscal responsibility, if you truly want to reduce the deficit and debt of this nation and allow the gross domestic product to outgrow that debt and deficit, then we're going to have to start cutting spending. And I don't believe this for a minute that we can't cut spending. The sequester taught us that. Because if you say what's necessary and what's available and what can we do to go in here, we already know that we find out that 83% of the government's necessary, 17% isn't, based on the sequester. And I think that there are a lot of things we could be doing to save money. Because sooner or later, we're going to have to do that anyway. Because what we're visiting on our children is criminal. Frankly, it's immoral.
Okay, so where do you begin your cuts?
I believe, first of all, is I'm a fair tax guy. I would like to see the income tax done away with and go to a fair tax, which is a consumption tax. I'd like to see if we can't get that, then certainly a flattening of the individual taxes. I'd like to see corporate taxes go from 39.5%, the highest in the developed world, to 10%, the lowest in the developed world. And this begins the fact that we can incentivize bringing businesses and operations back to the United States, where the best workforce in the world exists. And we remove the excuses for companies to ship their businesses overseas. At that kind of tax rate, where you allow repatriation at that same rate, which means that money earned outside the United States can be taxed at that same rate, then what that does, it will encourage foreign investment so we can bring our gross domestic product up that way. And we have the opportunity then to finally grow the gross domestic product out past the debt, which is what we have to do if we expect this economy to flourish at all. Imagine now we have 62.8% participation rate in the workforce, over 90 million people that are eligible to work that aren't working. And every day we sit here and say, well, yeah, unemployment's down to 6.7%. And why? Because people have stopped working. The last job numbers, 74,000 jobs created in December, one of the most prolific months ever we should have because of seasonal hiring, and yet we only produce 74,000 jobs when you need 150,000 jobs a month to break even. How do we stand here and look at this administration and say that their policies and what they're doing is working? Because it's not working. And the fact that we see our unemployment going down is simply a myth because we have people that have stopped looking for work.
To me, that's sort of convenient, and maybe it's true, but from my personal experience, I have friends that are without jobs, that have been downsized, or that have been, that have been replaced by computers or robots or something. They're good, hardworking people, work their entire lives, and there aren't the opportunities for them. Yet they're painted with the brush as if they're just don't want to work anymore, and that's not true.
It's nothing to do with the workers. It has to do with the environment for business, because we don't have businesses expanding. And the reason we've had the right size is because of the downturn in the economy and the uncertainty that exists out there. The government of the United States should not be out there creating uncertainty. It ought to be getting rid of uncertainty. Right now, we have the Bush-era tax structure that we have. That expires next year. And so what are we going to do? We still don't know where our structure is on that. We still have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. So that's uncertainty. And we have all of these arbitrary tax credits and subsidies that change every year with the tax code that changes. How is that good for the worker? How is that good for the employer? Because it's the uncertainty that exists there. And that's what has to be removed. Once the uncertainty is removed, then corporations will invest their money, they'll bring their money back to the United States, and your friends and my friends, I have friends too, that don't have jobs will then have an expanding economy and they'll have the opportunity to go back to work.
Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, it's great to be back in Marion County. In fact, I was talking to my field director on the way down here. So this is home for me. I lived in Oskaloosa for many years and spent a lot of time in Knoxville driving up and down 92 and Highway 5. And it's just great to be back, and I hope we can come down here and spend some more time.
Thanks to Sam Clovis for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.